It's now time for to talk about entertainment. One industry that keeps making us proud every time is the entertainment industry. Recently, Burna Boy sold out a 20,000 capacity venue, the Madison Square Garden, New York. Entertainers are flying our flags high, and we're extremely proud of them. Today, we have an entertainer extraordinaire. She has done everything from podcasting to vlogging to blogging, and recently, she made a big move on Nollywood.
Yes, wow.
Timi Otedola.
Hello, what an introduction.
How you doing?
I'm very well, how are you doing?
It's good to see you. The last time I saw you, I think it was in London, you remember?
Yes.
Osapa, London, very close to Lekki. Yeah, it wasn't the real London.
Oh, going right into it. I remember that.
You remember,
Oxford,
right?
Oxford Street, right?
Oxford Street after Adeola Odeku.
There you go, that Oxford Street.
Exactly. By the way, congratulations. I can see the engagement glow all over.
I'm still not engaged. I feel like the engagement glow lasts until you start planning the wedding. That first day you start planning the wedding, I think that's when the glow goes. So I'm just enjoying it right
okay,
now.
Okay, okay. We're going to get into that. But first, you know, every talent wants to, you know, to be asked questions about what, you know, she does or he does, you know. So we're going to keep the engagement aside. Let's get to the work. So how did you transition from podcasting to being a fashion influencer, and then you made a big debut? Straight lead, Nollywood. How did that happen?
Straight in. A lot of people also want to know that pipeline from, I guess, my start in the industry. I guess you could say fashion was my first love. And when I was 16, I was seeing the rise of fashion blogs around the world, and I was just obsessed with designers and fashion weeks. And it was a time where people had all these online blogs. They would write articles, wear clothes. We didn't have TikTok or Instagram or YouTube, or it wasn't being used a lot.
Yeah.
And every day I'll come home from school and just start writing about a new fashion designer, taking photos by myself, editing them, writing articles. And then maybe 2 or 3 years in, I was like, wow, brands now want to pay me to platform their brands. So I was like, wow, this is actually a business. So I did that for a few years. I then went into TV presenting, podcasting, YouTube, everything, anything I could get my hands on, right? And if you had told me I would ever be an actor, I would have said you're lying. I would have said, no way.
That's so how
no
did that happen?
I was always a huge fan of film. I was a very, very big film nerd. I think fashion, film, music, they all kind of mesh into one thing if you're a creative person. It really just came to an amazing opportunity, which was Citation. And I, you know, Citation could have been a single movie I did, and that could have been it, because it was a movie I was not going to pass down from the director, Kunle Afolayan, to the story, to what the story was about, such an important topic, such as sexual violence in Nigeria, right? So I thought, I can't pass this opportunity down. I need to audition for him. He told me he was making a movie where the main character was a girl, you know, her early 20s. I was like, please, please, please let me audition, right? I was just a fan of his work. I auditioned for many months because, you know, I was a first-time actor, and he is someone who is actually very good at nurturing talent. He has a lot of people who are not conventionally actors in his movies.
Yeah.
So it just turned out to having that experience, to falling in love with acting and now wanting to do it.
Amazing, because Kunle Afolayan was on the show, and he categorically said that you are a director's fave.
That's so sweet.
You were so keen on learning, and you were so keen on... But personally, when I watched Citation, I didn't see you as a first-time actor. You played the role so well, and I'm not trying to gas you up. Yeah, of course, there's definitely room for improvement.
Always, yes.
However, you did such a good job. But how did you receive the reviews?
I think with all things in life, you have to take reviews for... You have to have perspective on reviews, right? You should always take constructive criticism and try and be better. But you're going to have a million people saying you were good. You're going to have a million people saying you were bad.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to take each side with a pinch of salt, really. But I always like hearing criticism and feedback about my performance. So for the next time, I can try and improve.
That's great. So do you feel that some of these feedbacks you get are not exactly, I'm trying to put it in the best way possible. Now, in the industry, we have a couple of great talents that come from a wealthy background like yourself.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
You see Davido go on Twitter and say, oh, my only crime was being a rich man's son. You know,
the voice. I love it.
So he feels that his art is not being appreciated enough just because of his background, because there's a typical trajectory of the grass to grace story. You know, you come from a poor background and then you become a big star. You start with some waka pass role, then you get some like minor roles before you play lead. So is that having an effect on you too? Do you think people do not actually appreciate you enough just because your father is rich?
No, of course, that's always going to be the case. As you said, people love a rags to riches story, right? And there's so much to commend in that, when someone is able, without any help, to come up from nothing. But I think, to a certain point, if you've come from a privileged background, that privilege can only take you so far. And hard work, determination, and being a good person will take you the rest of that 40 or 50%, however it may. Because as you know, there are a lot of people who come from very privileged backgrounds that, you know, end up not maybe being in fields or, to put it bluntly, not working hard. So I think at some point, people only work with you when, you know, your background backs up your talent and your hard work backs up your talent. So that's why I also make sure that every set I'm on, I work as hard or even more hard than any other person on that set. I leave before everyone arrives. Before anyone else arrives. I leave after everyone leaves. And sometimes you have to go that extra mile because people are ready to discount everything you're doing immediately. Like, oh, that's just that person's daughter. Yeah. That's just that person's son. So sometimes you actually have to do a little bit more, especially when it comes to, you know, being paid for the work you're doing as well. Because they think, oh, you don't need the money, right? Yeah. So I'm running it like a business like anybody else. So that's really important. And to make a name for yourself. Everybody at the end of the day wants to make a name for themselves.
I like that. I like that because it's such a huge shoe to fill. And I know you're not trying to fill your father's shoe, but that could be such, you know, when you walk into the room, first of all, I think about your father before I think of you. So how has it been trying to sort of grow out of that box? Because in itself, it is a box.
Definitely. And I will say that I will spend my whole life, you know, with people only associating me with my father. And, you know, that's just the way it is. There's not really much I can do. So all I can do is focus on my own work, how I can change the narrative. And I've also realized that the most important thing is how I feel about what the work I'm doing. So I really block out all that white noise, all that background noise. And the main thing is, am I proud with the work I'm doing? And is it resonating with at least a few people who actually appreciate the work I'm putting in?
Great. Now, let's talk about the engagement.
It's time.
Are you ready to give us some tea?
Yes.
We're expecting some tea.
You want an exclusive on this?
Please. I was watching your vlog and you said that you really love your space and that even if you get married, people would only know you've gotten married after 2 years. So my question is, are you married already?
I can tell you, this is a worldwide exclusive. I am not yet married. I mean, very much engaged.
Because we saw the picture, Efo himself, Easy, and then he just tweeted, Easy does it.
That was it.
Can you tell me the relationship between, like, how is the relationship between your father and Mr. Easy?
And Mr. Easy, I'm so blessed because they have such a natural relationship that two people that can live in a room and they can be talking for hours. So I'm really, really lucky. I think they're very like-minded. You know, a lot of the things that I saw in my fiancé are things that I look up to in my dad, you know. And my dad is one of my role models. So to have that in a partner as well is so lucky. And yeah, it's just great, you know. Nobody wins on the family feuds. So thank God.
That's great. Also, you said you really love long-distance relationships because it affords you your space. He's busy, you're busy. But now that you're about to get married, you know, you might have to see him every other day. I don't know. What plans do you guys have? Have you guys talked about it? Because you love your spaces. How would you do that?
I mean, we've definitely talked about it. Things will change when we get married, of course. We need to be spending a lot more time, you know, in the same place. But for example, now he's finishing his album in Los Angeles. I'm here promoting my new film. But then we know that, okay, in the next few weeks, we'll plan to be together. So it's really nice to, you know, be able to do the work, do what we need to do, and then come back together and then actually appreciate the time together. But definitely, once we settle down and get married, things will change a little bit.
Okay, so I need another exclusive, because I've been wondering, how did Easy do it? And when I said, how did Easy do it, I saw Easy just move up from being a musician to becoming this huge business mogul. I don't think a lot of people actually know how much he's doing, because he doesn't make a lot of noise. But you've been with him through that process, you know, from him just being a musician with no structure to actually having a good business with structure. Can you give us an insight as to how that happened?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. A lot of people don't quite know all the work he does, and that's, you know, something that I really look up to with him, is that he doesn't feel the need to shout it. He just knows that he's doing well. He's making huge strides in what he's doing. You know, his label Empower is doing incredible. They have incredible talent, from Joe Boy to Fave, and across Africa as well. It's not just Nigeria or Ghana. You know, I think that they're operating in many countries, you know, tens of countries across Africa. And for him, he really looked at the infrastructure of the music business, and how, you know, a lot of African musicians, they don't own their own music, right? And you'll be shocked at the people who own their music. They're not always Africans, let's just say. And also sort of the deals they're getting into. So he, coming from the artist standpoint, knew the type of deal or distribution he would have liked as an artist when he was starting up. So really, it's just amazing to see how much he cares about this, how much he wants to change the African business, African music business structure. And also, I guess it's just so interesting to see that transition, having been with him for that amount of time. And just knowing that he really cares about the talents that he's looking after. You know, it's coming from a place of, we're not just trying to, you know, rinse you of your money or take advantage. Like, they're really trying to nurture these talents and make them as big as possible.
Well done. You sound like his personal PR spokesperson.
I am.
His number one fan.
I'm number one fan.
So we're going to talk about the industry, Nollywood as a whole. Congratulations. You now have two films in your bag.
Yes.
Man for the Job just came out on Friday.
It did.
Well done. I haven't seen it yet. I would have complimented you or not.
See it today, tonight.
So yes. Tell us about it.
So The Man for the Job is a crime thriller, but set in the tech world. So this is what I loved about the script, is that I don't think we've had any Nollywood movie that's looked at the new fintech space and had that as its sort of universe. And my character, Zina, is a programmer, coder, you know, artificial intelligence girl.
You look it.
Thank you. I mean, I feel like it wasn't too hard to fit into that role. But I did have to do a lot of homework on coding and programming, and, you know, learning about Python and modules and exponential functions and all those things. And the director, me, loves tech. Like, he loves app development, and he's so interested in that world. So it was amazing to bring my character, but also that fintech world space in Nigeria, to life. And I mean, this movie has a lot of twists and turns, so I can't even tell you the plot that much.
No, it's because
fine. Even us as the actors, we're still like, what? Like, when I was reading the script, I was like, turning the page, it was like 2 a.m. I was like, what is going on? It just kept on moving and moving and moving, and you have so many different characters. I mean, my character starts off very innocent, and you think she's just an optimistic young tech programmer, and by the end of it, you're like, how innocent is she really?
All right, so you're in the industry now. What stereotypes do you think that we need to change, especially when it comes to women? Because I know you're a huge feminist. In the Nollywood industry, there are certain stereotypes about women in the industry. So what are some of the stereotypes you think we need to change?
That's a great question. I think, luckily, with Nollywood, we do have a lot of women stars, you know, who have been in the game for so long. So maybe unlike music, for example, we do have a lot of dominant women in the game. Even if you look at Moabudu, you know, she is really at the top of Nollywood, and she's a woman, so that's amazing to see. But I would say, in terms of maybe the stories that are being told, it's so important to me that whatever movie I'm doing, it's not just about this is a woman who's looking to fall in love with a man, you know? Mm-hmm. Or it can be about that, but we want something more profound underneath that. Mm-hmm. And telling the lives of complex women, because every woman is just as complex as every man, right? So that's just really what I want to champion, is telling interesting stories about women, you know, having more biopics maybe about our own historical women in Nigeria. And there's so many stories to tell. So it's just keeping the projects available to women actors interesting, you know, and letting them push their boundaries and push their talent as actors as well.
Okay, so I'm going to paraphrase this in a very informal way. Do you intend to Mr. Easy the Nollywood? I mean, do you intend to start producing, start creating your own business, aside from being an actress?
Yes, so without saying too much, that's something that I'm really, really looking forward to going into, you know. I think it's very important to pay your dues. You know, when you're an actor, you want to be on set and just concentrate on getting the job done for the producer, for the director. And I'm just two movies in, but down the road, I'm definitely going to be going into the back end of it, the off-camera side of it, because I just love all things film. So whether that's directing or producing in the future, we'll see.
Not to put you under any pressure, when are we expecting the Oscar?
I'm going to put it out there, okay?
Yes, just push it out in the universe. Exactly.
Okay, well, this is 2022. Mm-hmm. 2025.
That's 3 years from now.
Yes. I think that's a good time frame. How old are we? 29. I think that's good.
That's fine.
That's nice.
Maybe in the three. I was expecting
maybe
like a time
years.
Of 3 months, you know, 6 months. But 3 years is fine.
3 years is good. Because we're gonna play this back. I'll come back on the show.
Exactly.
I'm holding my Oscar right here.
Exactly. So I'm a huge fan of the How Far podcast.
Thank you.
Listen, even though you people used to delay the season, but now that you're into Nollywood, you're acting, you're still trying. You're still doing your fashion influencing.
Yes.
How do you intend to juggle everything together?
I do believe on not having a million jars open, so to speak. I really like concentrating on one thing at a time. It can be hard to juggle everything, but for me, my main priorities are acting, social media influencing, and then the podcast as well.
All right.
So yeah, I think it's just about taking each day as it comes. So today is a movie day. That's all I have to think about.
All right, final question, and I need a very honest answer. Just drop it on the show. When is the date?
The wedding.
Are you going to do a public wedding? Are you going to do a private wedding?
No, I've already said many times, so we're going to be selling tickets for the wedding.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's everyone and anyone can come.
Okay.
But it's going to be a ticket affair. We're going to be selling tables, in fact.
Okay.
And the wedding date is, I can't tell you that.
Mm,
I cannot tell you that.
That's thank you so much for coming on the show,
Tami,
and I wish you all the best. And yeah, don't worry. Who knows? I might be hosting the Oscars in 3 years' time.
I know, so. And you'll be giving me
exactly.
My Oscar.
Exactly. And the award for the best actress in whatever category goes to Tami Otedola.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, give your acceptance speech in 1 minute so that we can go on a break.
A break, okay.
Yes, give your acceptance speech.
Well, yeah. I would like to, first of all, I want to thank my wonderful family. I want to thank God. I want to thank all the people that made it possible for me to be here, because I'm nothing without you.
Hold this pen. This is your Oscar. Hold it. Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Yes.
Why am I holding it here? Okay, here's where I look.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank every director, actor, producer who gave me this opportunity. And I'm going to copy that word for word in 3 years when I'm on that Oscar stage. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. All the best. And I wish you a happy married life. And of course, I wish you all the best in your career.
Thank you.
You do amazing. You're already doing amazing.